first thing I want to talk about today is the property tax bills rose 20% this year for the median homeowner in South Suburban Cook County. This is the highest increase in 3 decades, according to Cook County Treasurer's Office. And this is affecting Black residents the most. The Southland Black Chamber of Commerce invited an independent nonprofit called Wirepoints to the South Suburbs twice recently to talk to the residents, business owners, and policymakers about the destructive property taxes and to explain to the residents what they can do about them. So today I have as a guest Ted Dabrowski from Wirepoints. Again, the Wirepoints is an independent nonprofit company delivering original research and commentary about Illinois economy and government. Wirepoint focuses on Illinois state and local fiscal crisis. So let's bring in Ted Dabrowski. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing great, B-Dub. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. How was yours?
Mine was great. Had just family. We ate well, had a nice time together, and just blessed to have a beautiful family.
Good. That's very good. That's exactly what Thanksgiving really should be about, like being grateful about the blessings that you do have. The fact that you're walking around healthy is one of the first blessings, and have a beautiful family. So I wanted to get into this property tax bill that's going on in South Suburban Cook County. This is a significant increase. Can you talk to us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I can. You know, this has been a big problem in Illinois, and it's been a problem for a long time. Our property tax bills for the last 30 years have been growing so much faster than people's incomes. And so people feel it, and they're angry, and there's a good reason they're angry, especially down in the South Suburbs, because they became the big news recently. You know, Dixmoor, the property taxes in Dixmoor for the median household doubled.
Wow.
Up 122%. In Phoenix, they also doubled. In Harvey, they nearly doubled from, you know, like 1,300 to 2,500. So you had these huge increases all down the list. You know, Bedford Park, everywhere, they all went up like 50%, 70%, doubling. And it shows a real big problem that nobody seems to care about. And the real issue is this, you know, property taxes pay for government, mm-hmm. and we've got what it looks like we have way too much government, and a government that's not doing a very good job right now either.
Exactly, because I'm thinking to myself, this is all happening while home values are not increasing, right?
Oh, that is so right.
You know, so there's no upside for anybody. And it seems to me that it would be incumbent upon the mayor to try to lure some businesses to that area to compensate for all the loss of tax revenue from the businesses. Right.
Well, that's a big part especially for Southland. Right. You lost all those big manufacturing and big businesses that used to be there. And when they left, well, you know, the government didn't shrink.
Right.
And so the bills were all passed over to the homes, and that's been the big problem. And if you look at, you know, most of your property tax bills, about 60% or so goes to schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools are really expensive. It's a tough discussion because nobody wants to talk and, you know, talk bad about schools or talk bad about teachers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, we have too many units of government down there, and there's too many that are overlapping. They're kind of duplicative. And you've got a lot of bureaucrats filling the jobs, and they get paid really big money, as we've shown in some of our work.
And so were you able to talk to Mayor Johnson at all about luring any businesses to the area, or what the problem was in actually doing that? Because I believe Lincoln Mall has been gone for quite some time. That's out in that area as well.
Right. You know, we definitely need businesses, but businesses aren't going to come if we're really expensive. You know, we keep showing that our government keeps spending too much money, and we have the most units of government in the country. So we have nearly 7,000 units. They all tax. They don't coordinate, and they all just keep raising our property taxes more and more. So you take a state like Florida. It's much bigger than we are. They only have 2,000 units of government. We have 7,000. So we have too many bureaucrats. And so when you start looking, so the thing I like to point out is, how much some of these people are getting paid in our government. Again, I'm not trying to pick on the people. It's the system. That, you know. So Laura Murray, who was the superintendent of Homewood Flossmoor, she will get a pension of $10.2 million in her lifetime. as a result of her big pension. You know, you got other people like Mary Curley from, well, not that one, but from Calumet City. Troy Paraday will get $9.9 billion. And so what we've got is we've got this infrastructure of superintendents. Not, and I'm not talking about the teachers. I'm talking about all the bureaucrats.
Mm-hmm.
And they suck up a lot of money that should be going to the classroom or to have lower taxes.
That is astounding when you just put it together. When I think about the population of Florida, I recently looked this up. I think it's, what, 22 million? And Illinois,
right,
it's less than half that, right? So it would seem to me that they would think about, I mean, especially 2,000 branches of government versus 7,000?
Right.
It seemed to be some consolidation right there, no?
Exactly. Well, and think about it, too, because every unit of government, you know, whether it's a library district, a park district, a city, a township, they all have their bookkeepers and their bureaucrats, and of course they have their heads. And when you start duplicating and triplicating them, well, guess what? It's your property taxes that have to pay for them. So you can love your governments all you want, but when you start having that many units of government and you have that many bureaucrats, and then they get, you have to remember, in Illinois, pensions are special. They're really big, and they're protected by the Constitution. So nobody can do anything about them. So you get this government class. I call it a government class. I'm not trying to be mean. But there's a government class, and they get paid a ton of money. And everyday Illinoisans, they don't get those kind of pensions and protections, but they still have to pay the taxes, you know, no matter how high they go. And that's the problem we have in Illinois. And that's why I worry about Southland, because it's going to be hard to keep people. I mean, you know, places like Harvey are going to have a hard time keeping people when it costs so much to live there. The home values are going down. You know, it gets hard to have money for crime and things like that to protect against crime. And you get into a downward spiral, and that makes houses go down and property taxes go higher. It's a hard situation.
It's an extremely hard situation, and I shouldn't have put that on Mayor Johnson. My bad. That is other mayors that are out in these southern suburbs, so that was my fault. You know, been born and raised in the city, so sometimes that's a problem. But I don't know. I just feel as if there needs to be some form of a consolidation in terms of these actual governments. Like that needs to be, someone needs to run on that out in that area to actually get rid of all of the, I don't know what
excess,
you,
right?
Yes.
Excess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's not helpful to these people, especially since their property values is not going up. I mean, there's no way for them to. It's like they're being squoze on both sides.
That's right. Now I have to tell you, to me, and if you want to know where the big problem lies, it lies with the legislators, because they're the ones that set all the rules. They're the ones that set the rules about how easy or how hard it is to consolidate governments. They're the ones that set all the pension rules. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're in Dixmoor or in Phoenix and you want to do some changes, well, guess what? You can't, because the state tells you what to do. They tell you what to do on all these things, like, you know, on the union powers, like the unions, they get all their powers from the state. And so if the unions want to, you know, bargain for more and more money and more pay in Dixmoor, they can do it. So really the change starts at the state lawmaker level, because they're the ones that set up all the laws, and they make it really hard for anybody to try to lower the expenses at the local level.
Okay, well, let me ask you this one question, and we're going to take a break, and maybe you can answer it when we come back. I want to get an idea of what the business leaders and what the residents are actually saying. So let's take a break, and I'll be right back with Ted Dabrowski. And Ted Dabrowski with WirePoints. Again, WirePoints is an independent nonprofit company delivering original research and commentary about Illinois' economy and government, and it focuses on Illinois' state and local fiscal crisis. Back to talk to you, Ted. So the question I had for you before we went to break was that you've had two meetings with the Black Chamber of Commerce out in the South Suburbs, and I wanted to get an idea of what the business leaders and what the residents were saying.
Well, I think, you know, one of the residents are just flipping. They can't believe how high these property taxes are. You hear about a lot of them talking about either moving or being forced to move. They've known neighbors who've moved. It's easy to move to Indiana, for example, not too far away. You still get the benefits of Chicago, but you get the lower property taxes there, and home values are affordable there. Businesses, it's different. You know, businesses are really concerned because it's expensive to do business here. Chicago has the highest commercial property taxes in the country, when you compare it to the big cities in the country. Wow. So it's really expensive to operate. Our taxes are too high, and you know, you've heard of, look, Boeing headquarters left, Caterpillar headquarters left, Citadel, which is Ken Griffin and, you know, his big trading shop, Tyson Foods left. You had Morton Salt leave Danville recently. And a lot of that has to do with it's just expensive to do business here. And this state is not growing. Our population is not growing. It's not growing like Tennessee is growing or Carolinas or Texas or Florida. We've been shrinking. And so we've got to totally change how we do things in Illinois if we want to attract people and businesses. Because if not, if we keep doing the same old things, taxing people more, spending more, we're going to get in trouble. Well, we are in trouble, but we're going to get in worse trouble.
Clearly, that's a lot of business that have left. Yeah,
these are big ones, right? I mean, if you're Boeing and you leave,
exactly.
Leave Chicago, if you're Caterpillar and you move your headquarters, if you're Citadel, you know, this is Ken Griffin, where a lot of people like him or don't, because you know he's a polarizing guy given the politics of Illinois.
But he
was a huge philanthropist. He's worth about $40 billion, and he took his money and his, you know, the taxes he paid, and they're now in Florida. So we have to really think about how we treat the businesses, because they help pay a lot of the bills.
They do pay a lot of the bills, absolutely. So does that mean just statewide we need to just combine some of these levels or agencies within the government such that we can bring it down from 7,000 to 2,000? Because that's a lot. That's a hell of an increase there in comparison to Florida.
Yeah, you know, we've got like, for example, we have over 850 school districts, right? So 850. Mm-hmm. Florida has 70. That's just, you think about the level of bureaucracy, right? And that's a big problem we have. But the problem is bigger than that, BW. It's our problem is that, we have these big, big pensions. Nobody wants to talk about them. But these big pensions are the biggest problem we have. They create massive debts, and they lead to big, big property taxes. And unless we reform them, you know, I was just looking at the neighborhoods there around in Southland, and it's pretty fascinating. So you got Kevin Nolte. I don't know if he's still the superintendent, but he's the superintendent of Dalton 148. His compensation is $480,000 a year. You got Nathaniel Cunningham, $310,000 in Thornton, Blondine Davis in Matson, $384,000 a year. I mean, these are massive salaries.
Yes.
Compensation. You know, can the neighborhood, can the communities really support that? And is it fair to pay those workers that much money when people can't afford their property taxes, and we're paying these superintendents? And they retire in their 50s, right? And again, I'm not trying to pick on the actual people.
That's a system.
It's not them. It's a system. So, Troy Paraday, for example, you know, his pension right now is $350,000 a year. He retired at 56. And the scary part is just 9% of kids at Calumet City, the district he was at, can read at grade level for blacks. Blacks, just 9% read at grade level. So we've got a system that's totally out of whack, and this needs to be discussed. That's why we had these forums. We have enough time to discuss all these details. I'm covering a lot of stuff in one phone call here, but it's gotten to be where it's not affordable and it doesn't make sense.
Completely doesn't make sense. As a matter of fact, I remember the last time I looked at the salary for the president, it wasn't $480,000 last year.
You're right. That's correct.
Of the entire United States. So that seems completely out of whack, completely, and wholly unsustainable.
And they've built these bureaucracies too, right? Because it's not just them. Then they hire a lot of assistants. And so we've had this massive, huge expansion in administrators in schools. You know, I'm all for having teachers and assistant teachers in the classroom, working with the kids, helping them read and do math. But we start hiring all this administrative staff. That's where you get the big problem, because it just becomes bloat. And then people have to pay for it, and nobody knows what they're paying for. That's the other big problem.
Yes, that is. Well, we've got a couple calls on the line. Perhaps they're going to ask some questions about what's going on. Let's take the first one, Greg L.
Hey.
Hi, Greg. How are you? This is B-Dub.
Hello. How are you? How's B-Dub and Mr. Ted?
Ted.
Hello.
Go right ahead. Speak.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. You know, I agree with a few things you had to say, and disagree with others. You know, of course, there are far too many taxing authorities and then these different layers of government. I think one that's glaring for me, I'm in the South Suburbs in Thornton Township, and, you know, this whole notion of this township system is
a relic.
You know, so it should have been eliminated many years ago. Of course, the famous Tiffany Hinyard is the supervisor. And they, you know, I mean, practically that township system provides very little, excuse me, if any, value to the Thornton Township. And then make it even worse is that Thornton Township is the most tax delinquent. Forget about all these other issues, but it is by far the most tax delinquent. And that creates a whole nother scenario of problems, which get into community distress and so abandonment follows, and then this downward spiral of communities. And I, you know, so I think that's something that needs to be addressed. The property tax system, again, is antiquated and needs to be revised. Now, as it points to this significant rise, I think Thornton Township and a couple other of the Southland townships were up for a triennial assessment. That's what that is. And what happened is the values of properties in these areas have actually significantly increased. Now, I know people can argue that, but, you know, I'm kind of close to the values, and they have, you know, and it's amazing. Houses in Harvey sell well over $100,000. They bump into the $200,000 range, and the assessments have never really caught up to these increases. Most of Harvey's properties are valued, you know, $40,000-$50,000 or something like that. But and there's a lot of individual development. The city's changing, the demographics, and the Hispanics and the Indians and so forth, they are coming in buying these distressed properties and improving them. And so I think that's a big part of what people are seeing, their property taxes go significantly higher.
Thank you, Greg. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I thank you pretty much. Quite a bit for that. I will say this. You know, I grew up like on a 120th and LaSalle, 124th. And I remember the values of Harvey being around, you know, high 90s, maybe 110, 120. The fact that they are still around that price just into 100,000 says they haven't grown enough. But I thank you very much for your call. So we're going to take the next call. We're going to go with Randy next.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're on with Ted Dabrowski from the Wire Points. You have a question for Ted?
Okay, good afternoon to you. Yes. What is your name?
Oh, I'm Bridget Washington, but I'm calling myself B-Dub on the radio.
I just want to catch your voice and stuff. And I agree with the point that you just raised about the high property taxes and stuff, and that can be rectified. That can be changed the law and stuff like that. They take certain actions. As a matter of fact, there was a former mayor of Berkeley, California. There was a former mayor of Berkeley, California. His name was Gus Newport. He died more than like 8-9 years ago. Gus Newport. He's a former activist and mayor of Berkeley. He came up with different economic plans to help try to keep the cost of housing in terms of and the property increases down. And I think that we were to look at some of the ideals from Gus Newport, right, as well as also Holly Sklar, her book, Streets of Hope, when she talks about the Dudley Project, the Dudley Initiative. Yeah, you can do different things to help with lower property taxes and stuff, and where you also make the people who live in expensive housing, who make over $100,000 or $1 million a year, pay more like they try to do here, to bring Chicago home, as well as the fair tax amendments and referendums. And other type of amendments to try to get the rich, the well-to-do, the upper class, to pay their fair share of the taxes or to pay more because they own more and they have more money. to be able to, you know, so we wouldn't have to, the burden would be on the working class folks within the state of Illinois and in Chicago.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Randy. Thanks for calling.
Take care. You're welcome. Take care.
You too. But it still seems to me, Ted, that until you get rid of the bureaucracy, that it's going to continue to be a problem and, you know, sprout up in another way. Like the problem is within the actual government need to consolidate and eliminate some functions and also bring down some of these salaries. I mean, I can't believe a person, I don't know what Ken Nolte in Dalton does, but at
he's a superintendent, yeah.
Okay, but as a superintendent making more than what I remember learning about what the president makes, president of the entire United States, seems like a bit of a stretch, right?
But well, anyway. Right. You know, and you know, when you, so that's salary, right, or compensation, but then when you look at these pensions, right, I mean, you've got people across, you know, Homewood Flossville, Ed Mansfield will make $9.1 million in pension payouts over, you know, during his retirement. And it's just not affordable. And you're asking ordinary, everyday people to pay higher and higher taxes so that Mr. Mansfield can have his $9 million lifetime pension. And it's, you know, it's something the government agreed to. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you know, he's doing something wrong. But why the heck do we have those kind of agreements?
Absolutely.
And as long as we let that happen, as long as we have too many governments in that, and, you know, in these pensions. So, you know, and I just want to make one comment about what Randy said. And you know, Randy has to realize, too, that you know, wealthy people have 49 other states they can live in.
Yeah,
and
they do.
So, you know, they should pay the taxes like everybody else does. Right. But if you want to target them, then they can leave, especially if they don't feel like. Like you said, if we're not doing any of the reforms to lower cost,
right,
and we just target them to keep paying more, well, then they leave. And that's exactly what's happened. If you look at the population and the population of our wealthiest, they are leaving. I mean, everybody's leaving. But if you look at the wealthy, they are leaving and they take their money with them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ted. I really appreciate you calling in and adding some color and information to this entire crisis. We're going to go and take a break, people. We'll be right back.
Thank you, B-Dub.
Thank you. Bye.